We're going to look at Romans 3:24, that well-known verse, because it carries on looking at this series of plus ones. We all know Scripture, and when we're first saved or first called to God and we respond to that calling, that movement of the Holy Spirit inside us, we hold on to some of the truth. Now, if we've been in a church, we can learn some verses. If we're brought up in a Christian home, if we have that privilege, then that's something we get through Sunday school and all the years. Otherwise, we have to study it for ourselves. And as we read God's Word, there are 66 books, two testaments, and I'm sure you, like me, know lots of it. But I always remember thinking, there's more in the Bible I don't know. There's more in the Bible I have forgotten than I have remembered. So this series is about reminding us some of these truths, because the Bible verses that we've picked, that have sort of, Phil's picked, is really around those that are well known. Well, a good opportunity to remind those of us who believe the truth that there is, to put that sort of wider context, to provide that background, that emphasis. It could be that clarification or that qualification, that further meaning, just to remind us. Now, the fact that you're here on a hot Sunday evening means you probably already have responded to the gospel. And you're here because you want to be in with church family, within God's family, with his people, in his presence, worshiping him. So let's praise and let's celebrate that. But also, it may be that you're here because you come and the flame has diminished a bit. The truth has been forgotten a bit. The busyness of life is crowding in. The situation you find yourself in, you can't see a way through. Well, that's life, isn't it? As I said, I think I spoke a couple of weeks ago in Jeremiah. We said, you know, we have families and families have stuff going on. And we could all spend our time thinking about issues in our family, I'm sure. And we can all think about our family members, those that we love dearly, who we'd love to have a better relationship, a closer relationship with. Those in our family who we want to see grow in their love of the Lord. But right now, we're going to spend a bit of time just focusing on us, okay? This is a bit of me time. Do you remember that's what people love calling it these days? My wife says I have more me time than her time. I think that's the wrong way around, isn't it? I'm very good at me time, apparently. I'm not so good at our time. But this is my time. This is our time, okay? We're going to have a bit of me time tonight. We're going to look at this verse because it is applicable to us individually. Okay, it's not a corporate message. Now, I stand here corporately at Homegate Church preaching this word to you, but the message is individual. It's for each and every one of us, not for our spouse, not for our partner, not for our brother, our sister, not for our son or our daughter, our aunt, our uncle, grandparent, great-grandparent, all the others. You got the gist. It's for us. And this is where I want us to be. Draw us back, because God called us individually. And many of us can remember that time when we first responded to that call. So here we have Romans. It's a great book. It's a book of doctrine. We've been through it in recent years, verse by verse. And my mum's not here because I said I'd do only a few points. I've just got 16 points tonight. We'll be out by midnight because we're going to do it word by word, just quickly, okay? Because 3:24 is really good. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, we know that verse. It's a universal tragedy, isn't it? This is the state of mankind. Phil said this morning, we're condemned already. God has condemned the world he created. That is our standing. And that condemnation is there for us for all time. That is our fate. That is what we need to be saved from. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's without hope. And it comes in this section in Romans chapter 3, where Paul is talking about righteousness. Righteousness, if you remember, is being right with God. Being right with God is the theme of Romans, really. It's simply being right with God. The doctrine is really about salvation. That's what Romans looks at. We've got these practical chapters at the end of the book, but at the beginning of the book, chapters 1 to 3 especially, is the need of salvation. Just to remind us, we're in a difficult position. We're born after the world was condemned. That's a bit unfair. How can that be right? How can God of love and God of, oops, Sorry, I've just flicked the microphone cover off. Sorry, George. Get another one. Oops. To a penny. I'm treasurer. Thank you, guys. Sorry to viewers at home. We'll edit that out. But you see, God is holy. He is righteous, and no unrighteousness can be with him. I like this question if I ever get a chance to speak to people when they say to me, oh, it's just a small sin, a little white lie. But if a sin is like a black drop of paint and the rest of the tin of paint is white, surely the black drop will not change the color. Is that right? Well, you can't visibly see it. But I work in pathology, and I tell you, we have the ability. You've seen CSI. It's like that where I am. It's no longer 100% pure white, is it? Even with one sin. Can you see how it is that with God, sin is wickedness, rebelliousness. It is evil in times. It's selfishness. It's lawlessness. And any part of that cannot be with a holy God. And that's what 3:23 says. For all have sinned. That's our status. All. Everybody. No matter how good we are, or think we are, or how nice we can be, that is our standing. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This verse is known well because it's part of the Roman Road. I don't know if you're brought up, if you're taught to do personal evangelism. I was taught to do the Roman Road, which is five verses in Romans. You could pick 8, 9, or 10, actually, there's that many. But 3 or 4 is many. But I like these five. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. In other words, everyone's in the same state. Okay, that's the position. Romans 6:23, do you remember? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the punishment of sin. So all have sinned, there's a punishment of sin is death. Then Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The message there is Jesus paid the price for the sin. So we're all sinned, the punishment of sin is death, but Jesus paid the price for all our sins. Romans 10:9, if you missed it this morning, look online, that's what Phil spoke on, Romans 10:10. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, there is a way of being saved from that judgment of death, that punishment. So that in Romans 5:1, the fifth stop on the road, if you like, we now have peace with God. Because it says, therefore, since we have been made right with God, we're righteous. We've been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus has done. Five verses to summarize the gospel. Have them in your back pocket. Keep them in your wallet. Those are the verses that show people that our faith. What is it about Christianity? It's better than getting drawn into a judgment about someone's lifestyle, their choices and everything. It won't work. It'll just alienate and antagonize. Well, it does me. But stick to Scripture, the Roman Road. That's why we know the verse so well. That's why I know it so well. Romans 3:23. But we're here to look at Romans 3:24. For all are freely justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, just before us it was a universal tragedy, this is a universal hope. So you can't really and shouldn't, we shouldn't take Romans 3:23 without looking at Romans 3:24, okay? So one sets out the tragedy that we face, and one gives us the hope to which we can be spared. You see, if we're saved from that judgment, Romans goes on to tell us how we're saved. You see, it's like two sides of a coin, heads and tails. I mean, I don't know if you prefer heads or tails. I don't know whether I prefer Romans 3:23 or Romans 3:24 because I prefer the message of them together. But if you really push me, I think Romans 3:24 is a better verse than Romans 3:23. Am I allowed to say that? Do I get into trouble for saying that, Pastor? Possibly. Oh, dear. This is my last sermon at Homegate. I'm with good company, though. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who opened this very church as a really old man, and I was a very young boy, when he spoke on Romans, it was all narrated. So a lot of the thoughts you're getting here are his, because he was a fantastic speaker. Welsh as well. But one of the key things is he said, this is a pure treasure of a verse. It's one to grasp hold of because it gives hope, not only to us, but to people we know, we love, we're concerned about, we pray for. Because as all have sinned and all are condemned, all are justified freely by his grace. So let's just pray, shall we, as we open up this verse. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Yet again, it contains so much truth, so much life, so much vibrancy, so much instruction. Lord, help us to spend time now just focusing and reminding ourselves of this truth or being challenged afresh by it or even coming to terms with it for the first time. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. So there you have the verse. Really, there's three things we're going to draw out tonight because it's a sermon. You've got to do three things, apparently, with a bit of application. But we're not going to look at those 3 points. We're going to look at word by word. But the three things we're going to look at, by the time we've got through this, you'll absolutely understand what is salvation. And you may think you already know, which is great. You may already experience it. Fantastic. But this is just going to remind you. What is salvation? What actually, biblically, it means? We looked at that this morning, actually, but we're going to look slightly differently tonight. It's not different, though, I hasten to add. It's the same message. Then we're going to look at how salvation can be received. Oh, I know that. It's like a school test. I know that, Simon. I know both those questions. And then we're going to look at, or we'll know, what makes it possible for God to save you and I. Why would he do it? What salvation really is, how salvation can be received, and what makes it possible for us. So key here is really we can look then at these verses. So there we go. And all are. They're the three we're going to look at quickly now. And, well, when you see and in a verse, what do you have to do? You've got to go back. Because you can't take this verse without taking the previous verses. So it's just a basic lesson. You wouldn't leave a child behind. The reason people at church are laughing is they're ungracious. They're remembering that I left my child behind. So apart from that picture, you wouldn't, would you? And where's the other one? And, well, we've looked at that, haven't we? Verse 23, Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And, in other words, don't take these verses separately. All, everyone without exception. That's what it means. It's the perfect balance to verse 23 because it's equal, isn't it? Everyone is condemned. Everyone can be justified. That's it. Everyone. Ah, now that's an interesting way. If you look up the word are, it means be. It's two letters. It's very strange, the English language, isn't it? But you see, it's a state of the word be. What do you mean? Well, the AV probably got a better translation because what the AV does, gone backwards, being. You see, being, you and I are human beings. We are things of the present. We are actual entities, aren't we? And so when it says, you know, and all are, it means now. It's not future. It's now. And so the AV's translation of it says being justified. That's something we receive now. That's something we are now. We don't have to wait for it. It's not like George's new car that's coming in 2026. It's not like that new house you've been waiting to move into either. Justification, salvation is for the now. So being justified, that's what it means. And all are. You see, being justified is a status conferred on us. George, I might need help here. There's only two buttons. Hey, there we go. I've got it right this time. The third picture. You see, what is salvation? Well, salvation is being saved because we are justified. Phil reminded us this morning, it is just if I'd never sinned. That work of restoration, if you were here, the kids talked this morning, the eggs were broken. What is it with Gaz and eggs and children's talks? But it's a really clear point. The eggs are broken. The kids tried to put them together, but they couldn't. Whereas being justified is we are restored. We are repaired. We are atoned. We'll come on to that in a moment. You see, I like Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I like Warren Wiesbe as a commentator, but I also like Wayne Grudem, who's written this book, Systematic Theology. If you haven't got it, it's a great copy. For a small fee, I'll let you share mine. But Wayne Grudem describes justification like this. It's a legal declaration concerning our relationship to God's law. It's stating that we're completely forgiven and no longer liable for punishment. It's a declaration, nothing more. It's nothing we have done. It is a standing before God that God has decided you and I are now righteous. Yesterday we were unrighteous, but when we've put our faith and trust in Jesus, today we're righteous. Can you see how I haven't changed in that, apart from probably my attitude? Phil was sharing some of his testimony today, and that's been my experience. I used to be really, really angry all the time. I used to shout at Debbie. Probably you think that's my sister if you don't know. Used to be quite nasty to her, actually. But I used to get really, really mad. And it wasn't till I was saved that I was challenged in that behavior, because there was no point in being angry at everything, because it was more about me than the people I was being angry at. So justification is simply being made right with God, being saved from his judgment. You see, you can't be saved and not justified. And you can't be justified without being saved. They absolutely go together. So the moment we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us, God sees us as righteous. We are justified. Our standing has changed. It's a declaration of God concerning us. It's done to us. It's not something we do. It's not something we apply for. It's not something we qualify for. There is nothing you and I do. What we have in common is we've done nothing to be justified. But God has declared us righteous. You see, when you're born again, you're sanctified. You're made holy. You're set apart by God. But we have that whole process of sanctification to live our lives, to be more Christ-like, to try to be more holy, to try and be a better person, to try and be kinder, nicer, caring. That sanctification is the bit that we live our entire earthly lives with, wrestling with, that selfishness and that other side, that Christ-like side. So that's something we carry with us in our Christian walk, in our believing walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But justification is our one point in our life. It's not something we have to do again. We can't be more justified than when we were first justified. We can't be more saved than we were saved again. Our standing before God has changed completely. And all are justified freely. You see, the consequence... Oh, I've pressed the wrong button again. Can you believe it? There we are. Freely. This gift, if you like, this declaration by God that gives us a pardon, if you like, is given freely. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. We're no longer his enemy. He's no longer going to judge us. His wrath and his anger won't be directed to those who are justified. That is the point of being saved. It's vitally important that every believer understands this. If we don't understand it, then I suggest we remind ourselves of it, because it's a great truth. And no matter what we do in life, after we have confessed, as we learned this morning, and repented and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified. Now, we can live as though we don't know it, and we can live as though... when we know we should. And that's where we talk about the reward in heaven, and that's what some of the preaching we've been teaching about. But our actual standing before God doesn't change. We have to confess our sin to achieve it. You see, the word here freely, Greek word, is without cause. I love a free gift. Do you like a free gift? But I'm suspicious of a free gift. Are you suspicious? Oh, no, you don't have to worry. It's free. Joe and I got caught years ago on a free tour of this hotel because it's free. You can have a nice swim in the pool, but you had to listen to 3 hours worth of timeshare selling. It wasn't free at all. We've won a free kitchen. Fantastic. But someone's going to come and talk to you to death about how you need a new kitchen. You've been in those situations? The free voucher, that means the first one you pay for and the second one's free. How's that free? I didn't want two. I didn't even want one. I'm always suspicious, but in Scripture, this declaration is offered freely. For all have sinned and fall short, so all can be freely justified. There's nothing we can do, no works that we can do, no obedience we can show. We can come to church and be as religious as a religious thing and pray and close our eyes the whole time. The gifts that we make, the sacrifices we offer. We could say, I'm going to be a monk, I'm going to become a nun. You'd enjoy that for me. Or I'm going to be a pastor. Or I'm going to be a servant in the church. All of those things. We could just be really, really good. Not one of those things qualifies for being justified. Because nothing we do, not one thing we do, makes us justified. It is given freely without cause. So, what is salvation? Salvation is being justified. So, how is it received? Well, the next words are by His. Romans 1:17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So when we are justified, we're declared righteous. It's been revealed. We've received it freely. It's offered to everyone. It's an act of grace by His. His here is meaning God the Father. God the Father. It refers to God the Father. This is His act of love because He loves us. He created us in His image. He made us righteous. But we found a way of becoming unrighteous. We were created and we lived and dwelt with Him. There was the fall because sin entered the heart of man. And there was the condemnation. We were banished from the garden. And then that set us on a path at enmity with God. But it is this God the Father. It's His grace. It's His love. It's His plan. It's His gift. It's His will that He offers you and I grace, okay? That's His will. God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. It's God alone and only Him that can provide it. It's the same God who created the world. It's the same God we read about in the Bible. I find that amazing and comforting and quite challenging and quite humbling. Funny that, all those emotions together. I didn't think as a man I could see all those. But even preparing this, it's like, wow, oh. Because it is truly amazing that God, who we read about here, who created this entire world, who set about how to redeem the world and save the world and justify the world and make mankind righteous again so we can have an eternity with Him. This same God, it's by His grace. This is the same God who we have rebelled against, we sin against, many people reject, deny, and disobey. This same God is God, the Creator God, the Father God, the first person of the Trinity. Everything is from God the Father. Do you remember that? Trinity? No, hit it again. Everything is from God the Father through Jesus the Son by the Holy Spirit. Now, we can get into a theological discussion about that, but generally, okay, we go with those points because I think it helps me and hopefully helps you. So everything is from God the Father. It's His grace, that undeserved merit that reconciles us to Him in the way of salvation. God gives us many blessings. He bestows His grace in many ways. There's this common grace that everybody enjoys, health, wealth, existence. These are things everybody enjoys. But in that, they then think God doesn't exist. It's without God. This world we're living in is without a God, without a designer. Yet there is this saving grace that means when you know and meet the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, you meet God the Father, because I and the Father are one. This saving grace is shown to believers. In our passage, the Old Testament, the law is given through Moses. You see, it says in verse 21, "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." In other words, that is the Old Testament. It outlines the law, which reveals our sin, and in revealing our sin, it shows our need of salvation. Arguably, if you want to ask what the purpose of the Old Testament is, the purpose of the Old Testament is to make God known to us, to point us to the Messiah and the Savior, and to show us our sin and standing before God. 39 books, just like that, okay? But the New Testament is this new covenant of grace given through Jesus Christ, which outlines the means of our salvation. This righteousness in verse 22 from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference to any believer. No difference to any person, really. We might have different colors, nationalities, creeds, all sorts of individually differences. But we're collectively bound together in the fact that all have sinned. Verse 23, and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came in Christ Jesus. So, we know what salvation is. We know that it's conferred onto us by God freely by his grace. Oh, I didn't move the thing on to say grace, did I? There we are. So now we come to the point, let's see how it is that we receive this salvation. The word through. There's a mechanism. There's something we have to understand about salvation. You see, God's words are powerful. When God speaks, the seas were calmed. When God speaks, the world, we read, was created. Now, I do very much believe in a literal creation. And I believe that God is that powerful. I'm not going to limit an infinite God by my finite mind. And God saw that it was good. There was night and there was day. And it was that creation story shows how powerful God is. The fact he has power over nature and creation means he doesn't need millions of years to make things happen. He can do it instantly. The feeding of the 5,000, the water into wine, the dead to rise, the lame to walk, the blind to see. Miraculous things. God is that powerful. His words will make us tremble. Yet, God saying we're forgiven and conferring on us righteousness, God speaking that word, is not enough to save us. Wow, that's how big a problem our sin is to God. The God who brought us into existence by a word has to now do something way more, because a word alone is not enough. Is that a limitation of God? Absolutely not, because he has overcome the world. He has created the world. He's judged the world. He saved the world. All of that is in his power. But it shows you, I think, it shows me the severity of how significant it is that God is a holy God. And our lifestyle and our choices and our lives and our rebelliousness and our lawlessness and the sin in our hearts, the selfishness we show, has to be dealt with. And it's not dealt with by just a word of the Almighty God. It has to be more. Now that humbles me, because that's what we are adding to living today. We can't blame Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, all the Old Testament. Yes, they're in the same position. We can't blame Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can't blame Peter the Apostle, James, John, Evangelist. We can't. All of those people are in the same position. It's our sin that God has to deal with. What makes it possible for God to save us? You see, Jesus didn't just come into the world to announce his righteousness or declare we are forgiven or that God loves us and that we should trust him. All of that is valid, and Jesus did all of those things. But Jesus is the very mechanism by which we're saved. He's the very means by which we're saved. He's the only way we can be saved. Because Jesus, as God's Son, the second person of the Trinity, through him, he had to live, he had to die, he had to rise again so that we could be justified. And this mechanism and God's plan was so that he can save us. Why? Because Christ was obedient to God's will, his Father's will. Without his death, there was no means for us to be saved. There is a sin problem in us and in the world and in all of time that can't be ignored. You see, God needed to create a means by which mankind can be saved once and for all. We are justified, and the justice that is required needs atoning, it needs repairing. There is a sin problem that has to be dealt with. We read about this in verse 25 and 26. Open up, have a look there. Verse 25 in our passage, God presented him, meaning Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. In other words, Jesus only needed to die once for all the sins of all the world, for all time, because he provided in that the mechanism by which you and I are saved. He doesn't need to die again. He doesn't need to come again in that regard. As Messiah, he's coming as Lord again in the second coming. So the word is through. And in that word atonement, so we've had, golly, we've got quite a lot of words, haven't we? We have that atonement. That atonement is a reparation of wrong. I like The Repair Shop. Have you seen it on BBC? It's a fairly light-hearted program. I like it when French and Saunders did it for comic relief. Where you take something in and you repair it. It's quite wonderful how they do it. But something is taken from a state of disrepair and repaired so it works. Woo. But it is quite nice. I do like it. Well, we are repaired. Christ has atoned for our sin. That reparation of wrongdoing, we're repaired. And in that reparation, our relationship with God is restored. We're repaired, we're restored. And as we sang and as we read, we're reconciled to God. Hallelujah. I'm justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned. That's why both of us picked it, Nick. We could sing it again if we wanted to, but I've got another song. So the problem has been dealt with. The righteousness of God means that his anger, his wrath, his judgment, and his punishment for sin are dealt with. He doesn't have to wipe it aside. He directed it as his son so that the sin problem could be dealt with. It's no more a sin problem because this one act of God presented Christ as the atoning sacrifice. It's a pity Ben's not here, he's on holiday, but we had that series of shun words and we got to propitiation. That's exactly what we're at to here. But here we've got atonement instead. Christ had come to be the way of salvation. Jesus came to save the lost. We learnt it last week when Ben was speaking to us. John 3:17, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. This verse is showing us how. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 1:20, she will give birth to a son and you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Verses we know, we read every Christmas. But don't underestimate the role that Jesus plays here, because it's by him we are saved. And it says then the word redemption, another word. Golly, we've got a string of them already. We've had justification, sanctification, atonement. Now we're into redemption. You see, when your redemption is the act of being redeemed, okay? We could have sang, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return tonight as well. That's another song we could have sang. But the actual word is really the term used when someone pays a price to obtain freedom. Now, I've never been arrested and I've never had bail paid on my behalf, but I've watched it countless times on telly. And there is a price to be paid for freedom to be bought. And we understand that concept in law. But in biblical terms, Christ paid our ransom by dying on the cross and shedding of his blood. He didn't just pay the ransom. He was the ransom. Both. He did it freely because Jesus willfully followed his Father's will and died on that cross, knowing exactly what it meant that God's wrath and anger would channel through him. You see, no man could pay that price because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous on earth. No, not one. So in order for us to be made righteous, someone who was righteous had to come and take our place. And that righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness God has granted, imputed unto us. So the only person that can meet God's standard is God himself. And hence God the Father sent God the Son to be that atoning sacrifice, to pay the ransom, to redeem his people. You and I, who've put our trust in him, are redeemed. So all the glory needs to go to Christ for living, for dying, for rising again. So our ransom is paid. We're set free. We're no longer under God's judgment. We're declared righteous. We are justified and we have peace with God. Can you see that's a whole progression in a sentence? But can you see what had to take place for that to be a sentence in a sermon and a message to us tonight? So much in Earth's history had to be put in place by God. You see, the next bit is even more compelling. The words that and is, not very compelling words, are they? But you know what that is tells us? Is a present tense word. Okay? Jesus Christ in the present tense is because he rose again. He did die and he rose again. And so that act of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means of salvation, is open for us now, today, tonight. It's a real-time offering with no time dated. I went to the cinema yesterday and I got the token out to get popcorn, and it expired on the 30th of June, 2022. Another freebie gone. But this offer is for now. Just as we're being justified is now, so that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's still available tonight. The ransom is still available to be paid and credited for us, because the Lord Jesus Christ still lives today. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in all of time to show that. So, obviously then, the final words, in Christ Jesus. He is so central to this act. He is the only way we can be saved. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, Acts 4. In Christ Jesus. Take Christ out of Christianity and we're just a bunch of do-gooders. As Paul says, without hope, we are to be pitied. You see, Jesus is the very heart of the gospel. God reaching man is so different from all the other religions and sects that are trying to reach a state of holiness, of purity. Christianity is God reaching man. Say, don't bother. I give it you freely. I want you to be better. I want you to be more Christ-like. I want to work with you to make you more holy. But you are righteous, and I love you. I sent my son to die for you. Receive this gift. Yes, there'll be times when you still deny me, reject me, rebel against me, do my own way. That's life, isn't it? And we have to repent and confess those. Our heart has changed. Our standing before God has changed from being unrighteous to being righteous. Does it make us perfect? Ask my wife. It doesn't make me perfect. Does it make me super nice? Obviously. No, I can be really horrible. So don't look at the person of me, because I'm not the example. Who do we look at? In Christ Jesus. If we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and we know this verse to be true, then let us live our lives by it as then show it. That's a challenge for me. To be that better person, to be more Christ-like, to be more caring, more loving, to share my faith. You see, Romans 3:23 is a truth which shows the need of our salvation. And Romans 3:24 is a truth which shows us how we're saved, through whom we're saved, why and how we can be saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ. But if we have not yet declared Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have not yet responded to God, it may well be we've never committed that, our lives to Him. It may well be that's our standing. But you see, if we haven't, and we can think of colleagues, friends, family members who haven't professed a faith, well then, they haven't accepted the ransom. If they don't know Jesus, the ransom hasn't been paid. If the ransom hasn't been paid, they've not been set free. If they've not been set free, they are not justified. If they're not justified, they're not saved. If they're not justified, they're not righteous. If they're not righteous, they're unrighteous, and they do not know the peace of God, and they are empty with God. Therefore, they are still under God's judgment. We must hold on and understand this truth in Romans 3:24. You see, this is about Jesus in us and not about ourselves. There's nothing more for God to give us than His Son. There's no further act God can do to show us how much He loves us. He can't make us more justified than us being justified. He can't make us more righteous than righteousness itself. He's dealt with the sin problem, the sin that you and I add to. You see, Jesus is our Redeemer. He is our joy. He is our righteousness. And He is our freedom. And our lives are wholly bound to His. He is our hope, our future, and our destiny. You see, in these verses, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What a joy it is that we have the plus one. Because if we didn't have the plus one verse, we would still be condemned. And we wouldn't know the Lord Jesus. So I said at the start, this is about us individually and God. And so let's stand and sing that hymn. I love it so. Because it's such a great song. There's some words in it. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. That's what we want it to be. Surely we want it to be that. Yeah, I want a new car, I want a new house, I need the latest clothes. Yeah, they're important, but how important? Nothing is more important than our life is wholly bound to His. The future, sure, that's what we want, isn't it? Certainty, we are forgiven. The price it has been paid, for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. And He was raised to overthrow the grave. Everything is through Him.